Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. It's found on page 1074 in the Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? Gospel of John 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sides. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his sides, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Can we try and do something we did last 2 weeks? If I say, "Alleluia, Christ is risen," and then you will respond by saying, "Christ is risen indeed." Okay, so let's try that. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Oh, that was good. That was strong. You know, this is Easter acclamation that we shout. You know, probably a couple times a year, right? On Easter Sunday and maybe Sunday after Easter. And what I have come to see, understand, is that the volume of the response of the people sometimes is an indication of how clearly or certain how you believe that Christ is risen, with certainty or with question. Does it make sense? So your response is actually very good. And maybe I don't need to go any further with the message. But just in case, let's play a little game. I'll give you a name of a disciple, and you can give me the first word that comes into your mind. Okay? So, if I say Judas, what's the first word that comes into your mind? Traitor, okay, betrayer. How about Peter? Rock, okay, what?
Temper,
all right. Thomas, oh my goodness, poor Thomas. He will never live this out. Thomas, we call doubting Thomas just because of this little incident that he had, right? And doubt has not been a good word in the faith community ever since, ever since the time began, I guess. And Thomas, poor Thomas, he's branded as the doubting Thomas. But can we be honest here today? How many of us are like Thomas, having difficulty fully believing that Jesus resurrected? We may not want to admit it or say it too loudly that we have a hard time believing for the fear that people will look at me and, oh, you are just like doubting Thomas. You see, if we read the scripture a little bit carefully, we could see that when Jesus resurrected from the dead, actually everyone had difficulty believing that he was raised. From that very first morning, when the women came to the tomb to care for Jesus' body, you know, on the way they were wondering to themselves, who will move the stone for us so that we can go in and take care of Jesus' body? And to their surprise, when they got there, the stone was removed and Jesus wasn't there. There was a man in white clothes sitting there, a stranger, and told the ladies, he's not here, he has risen. What a good news, right? But Matthew tells us that trembling and bewildered, they went away. They went home, told no one about it, because they were afraid. Okay? That's the response. In John's story, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. There was his clothes, just the grave cloth that wrapped his body was just on the one side. And she immediately thought, oh my God, somebody has stolen his body. How terrible. This is not good. And so she ran to the disciples, told the disciples, and they came running to the tomb to find out for themselves. And they saw that it was indeed empty. They went away. Mary Magdalene just could not leave. So she's standing there crying and crying, wondering, whatever happened to Jesus' body? See, for her, she couldn't even fathom that Jesus rose from the dead. And when finally Jesus comes to her, she thinks that he's a gardener, because you know what? She can't even go to that place where he might be alive. So she's pleading and begging this man, if you know where the body is, please let me know so I could go get it. So the response of Mary to Jesus' resurrection is one of distraught, distress. On this first evening of that first day, so it's the same day they discover that Jesus rose, the disciples were together in this room. They locked all the doors because they were afraid. They were afraid because they don't know whatever happened to Jesus' body. Somebody says that he was raised. What does that mean? They were afraid maybe some Jews might come and find them. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears and he stood among them. And notice the very first word out of Jesus is what? He says, peace be with you. This is not the kind of peace that we pass to one another at the beginning of our worship service. When Jesus appears in the middle of the room among his disciples, can you imagine the reaction of the disciples? Like, you know, that's the kind of reaction they had. And that's why Jesus said, wait, it's okay. See, that's what he meant when he said, peace be with you. It's okay. It's okay. See, the reaction of the people to the resurrection of Jesus is not one of joy, but it's one of fear, distress, confusion. And see, no one believed that Jesus was resurrected until they saw Jesus. See, when Jesus appeared among the disciples, he shows his hands, he shows his side, and says, it's me, it's me. And John tells us that's when they believed and they rejoiced. So the poor Thomas, he wasn't there. See, that's his fault, right? For not being there. That was just one thing. And when he came back, all the disciples were so excited. Guess what, Thomas? Our Lord Jesus is risen. He is risen. He was here. He showed us his hands, his side. We touched him. We talked with him. He's alive. So if you were Thomas, and you came to church one Sunday, and everybody's so excited that Jesus was here, how would you respond? Francis Bacon says, if one will begin in certainties, one shall end in doubts. But if one will be content to begin with doubts, one shall end in certainties. A college student came by his pastor's office for a faith conversation. Eventually, the conversation came around to the subject of Easter. After all, resurrection of Jesus, that's huge for Christianity. So the student asked the pastor, what do you think of the resurrection? The pastor replied, I believe that it happened in reality and not just in the minds of people. So the student asks, what is your evidence? Like a professor prodding a student. And the pastor said, Exhibit A, the disciples. He said, 12 men and countless others are not going to give up their life to simply perpetuate that which they know to be a hoax. There is something there if 12 men and countless other people are willing to give their lives for, then it must be true. The college student mumbled, I don't know. I just don't know. See, maybe that's the problem. He's seeking knowledge, not faith. See, we don't say, resurrected Christ appeared to me, and then I'll believe. If Christ just suddenly appears right in front of my eyes, then I'll believe 100%. Really? No, you won't. If Christ appears right in front of you, like right now, you're going to run away. You're not going to all of a sudden, hi, Jesus, so good to see you. That's not going to happen. If you really pay attention closely, the resurrected Christ appears only to those who believed. He appears to his disciples. He did not reveal himself to all of the throngs of crowd in the city of Jerusalem. He did not appear to religious leaders. He did not appear to Pilate or Herod. But after he resurrected, all of the accounts tells us that he appeared to those who believed. As I share with the girls, believing in God is probably the most impossible thing for us humans, and also the most amazing thing. To believe in God is humanly impossible. To believe is a gift from God. And once we're given that gift of faith and we believe in God, then our life takes on a whole new meaning, and it is just amazing. Now, can we be honest here? How many of us are like Thomas or like that college student who have difficulty believing that Jesus resurrected? See, when Thomas said he won't believe until he can see it for himself that Jesus is alive, he was not discounting what everyone was saying. It was just that when Jesus came back to life, I want to believe it, but I just can't believe it. See, that's what he was saying. See, when we say doubt, I see there are a couple kinds of doubt. There's a kind of doubt that does not want to believe. Like, no, I don't believe, I won't believe, period. But then there's other kind of doubt. I call it the seeker's doubt. Like, I want to believe, but I really have a hard time wrapping my mind around it. At least, see, with the seeker's doubt, it's a good thing. It's a good thing because you are asking questions. You are exploring. You want to believe. You want to find out more. You want to feel it. You want to experience it. This kind of doubt actually energizes and expands faith. Rather than taking what others say at face value, it is having the kind of faith that asks to find out for yourself, that seeks to experience it, asking questions, wanting to know more about God, and to make faith real for yourself. That's what Thomas is demonstrating for us. Week later, Jesus appears again as disciples are gathered in this house. And when Jesus appears, we see it in the story that Jesus did not rebuke Thomas for not believing. But Jesus appeared and he shows Thomas his hands, his side. Here, touch. Here, put your hands in here. Jesus did not penalize Thomas for doubting the resurrection. And I know that Jesus certainly will not rebuke us for not believing or for asking questions. As Jesus showed himself, something amazing happened. Thomas is now convinced that Jesus rose from the dead. and he confesses, "My Lord, my God." See, if you read through the whole Gospel of John, this is one place, the only place, where a confession is made about the divinity of Jesus Christ. And the doubting Thomas is the one who makes that confession for all of us, my Lord and my God. In this Easter season, it is my prayer that all Thomases among us, and I think it's all of us, that we are proactive in our faith to ask good questions and to seek and experience Jesus, the risen Lord, so that we can have faith that is real, making a difference in our lives as well as for those around us. And may Thomas's confession, "My Lord, my God," be our confession. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. For whoever asks for faith receives. One who seeks Christ will find Christ." Amen.